Lulanfada is one of the three chief deities of the ancient Gaels and a primary deity found in all Celtic cultures we know of. He has in the past been called a sun god, a trickster god, the Mercury of the Celts, a god of war. But who really is Lu? This is not an exhaustive study of every aspect of the god, but by the end of this presentation it will be clearly demonstrated exactly what kind of deity Lu is. This has been a multi-year endeavor, and if you would like to support this work, please check out my Patreon page, where we are also working towards acquiring lands for the construction of a spiritual sanctuary and medieval fort. With that out of the way, let us begin. Lu is the son of a heroic father, Cian, and Ethnu, daughter of Balor. Ethnu is a goddess related to the earth in some fashion, and her name means seed or kernel. We are informed that her true name is Feada, which seems to relate to wood, and perhaps by extension a primordial tree. His father Cian, whose name means far or distant, and whose other name is Scalbalv, meaning phantom stammerer, or perhaps better understood, phantom or giant who is like the calm weather or still water. He is certainly intended as a celestial or sky figure, and the opposite of Ethnu. Cian is described as one of the Tuatha-Danann, the tribe of Danu, and Ethnu is of the Fëanor, a chaotic primordial force. Their opposite union is made to be significant in the myth, though elsewhere Ethnu is made out to be the mother of many deities. Balor has been made aware of a prophecy that his grandson will grow up to slay him, and so he secures his daughter away in a tower. According to folk tradition, Balor takes the cow of Goibniu, the smith, the most valuable cow in the world, and brings it to his castle, presumably in the underworld. In the various myths, the cow is being shepherded by Cian, and he is to ensure it returns to its pen at night. However, the cow ends up either being stolen or escaping from Cian, and ending up in the hands of Balor in either event. The cow is a metaphor, possibly for rain clouds. Its name, Glas Goibniu, meaning the grey of the craftsman god Goibniu, likely related to the color of rain clouds, and Goibniu was possibly the forger of the thunderbolt. Cian must then rescue the rain cow from the underworld. In some folktale versions of this, it is a figure named Saurug, meaning summer, who is watching the cow for Cian for a short while, who unwittingly gives over the cow to Balor. This further increases the likelihood that the cow is intended as a symbol of rains, which the season of summer loses to Balor, a Fëanor, or titan of blight and intense heat. Cian goes to free the cow, and there are various versions of how he does this. In all of them, though, he ends up finding his way into the tower Balor built to secure his daughter, and he couples with her. Ethnu gives birth to a son, or in some cases three boys, and Balor orders them killed by being tossed into the sea. The others are killed, with only Lu surviving, in some cases rescued by Cian or the god Manannan. The daughter of a blight god with a stare that can set the world on fire unites with a heroic young warrior called Distant, or Giant, who is like calm weather. What do we think the characteristics of such a child might be? What would the characteristics of a grandson who can slay a blight demon be? It may be significant that in other folklore versions, Cian and Lu end up disguised as gardeners and work for Balor tending the gardens. There is a recurring theme around Lu that ties him to agriculture, cattle, trees, and plants, and conversely also ships, which we will briefly look into later. Cian's rescue of the cow is later repeated by his son Lu, who frees the captured cattle of the Dagda. This corresponds to Indo-European myths regarding the freeing of the waters, or light. It is also possible that both Cian and Lu are but expressions of the same god, and that the father is the same as the son, or at least very similar. We may have a similar situation in Welsh myth, with Gwydion and Lle, for which there is actual archaeological evidence to support this dual identity of two Mercuries, one young and one old. In Irish folk tradition, there is a tale of Cian's son saving him from death. In the Welsh tradition, it is Gwydion who saves Lle from death. In both, Lu is a resurrecting god. So, after being rescued from Balor, Lu is stowed away in secret, usually on a distant island or in Spain. In some stories he is brought up by Mananan and or Goibniu, but it's generally agreed that he spends at least part of his time being raised by a foster mother, Taltu, an earth goddess whose name relates to an old Gaelic word for the earth. While there, in what is evidently the underworld, he learns and trains in all of the skills, becoming versed in everything. Then, when he has reached the age of manhood, he departs to Ireland in order to liberate and lead the gods. So, while Lu is being raised in hiding by the earth goddess Taltu, the gods have been suffering under the oppression of the Favoiri. Nuada leads the gods to victory over the Fir Bolg, another classification of gods related to the earth. Bress comes to lead after the loss of Nuada's arm, and his rule proved to be disastrous and the gods were treated as slaves. Finally, Nuada is able to get a silver arm crafted for him and reclaims his kingship, and it is then that Lu arrives at Tara. It was Lu's grandfather, Dian Kecht, who forged the arm for Nuada, a name which likely means swift plow. After announcing he was gifted in every art and demanding entrance to Tara, Lu defeats Nuada in Fidhel repeatedly until he has built up an entire mound of treasure, which he names the Crow of Lu, meaning the encirclement or the animal pen, linking Lu to the accumulation of wealth, which was in that time primarily linked with cattle, horses, and other livestock. Some have instead interpreted this Crow of Lu as a description of a particular move in the game of Fidhel, and Lu was said to have invented the game itself, which is a military strategy game akin to chess. His victory in the game over Nuada proves he is the better military leader. When Nuada lets him enter Tara, the seat which he first claims is that of the sage, for he was called the sage in every art. This position, however, is second only to the king and was in fact in some ways equal to the king. This position was called the Olam and carried great power in the ancient Gaelic world. The Olam was not under the power of the king, could not be dismissed by the king, and was originally a representative of the druidic class. Ogma, the champion of the gods, then tests Lu's strength by tossing a giant flagstone through the walls of Tara. Lu tosses the stone back and one-ups him by also repairing the wall on the way back, highlighting his strength but also his creative energy. Lu plays the harp, proving his bardic skill, and is especially noted for putting all the gods to sleep. This relation between sleep, dreams, and Lu is referenced elsewhere as well, and is therefore a key aspect of the god. After this, Nuada believes that Lu is the one to lead the gods in the war against the Favoiri, and he willingly offers to share kingship with him and to rise before Lu for 13 days while Lu takes the king's seat. This 13 days is not the period in which they fight the battle, for they spend several years actually preparing for the battle. Instead, it represents an ongoing joint kingship where the rule is split between them. The month, calculated by the lunar cycle, has 1 day full moon, 13 days in waxing, 13 days in waning, and 3 days where it is not visible in the sky. Perhaps it is a transition time from the moon in waxing until the moon in waning, or it may relate to the number of days in a row that the moon rises before the sun. Either way, both figures are closely linked. Both have descriptors that point to the importance of their hands, and they are depicted as jointly ruling. This joint rule is represented in the Lauragavala Éireann as them both serving as king for 40 years, equal to the 80 years of the Dagda, perhaps two alternating sky gods associated with the sun and moon, or night and day, with the continuous time of a god who is by medieval sources sometimes called a god of the earth. Lu is given special equipment by the craftsmen of the gods, and then he has all the gods assigned to specific tasks. This assigning is not simply a random list of the gods, but is an important element of the function of Lu, which is that of oath and binding. He has the gods announce their roles and functions as a way of securing them to that duty and ordering the battle. This is seen also in the fate of the children of Turin, where he has Bress swear to him under the sun and moon, earth and seas. The children of Turin are reluctant to give the oath to Lu under Lu's own name, instead wanting to give their own word, which they say is as good as any in the world, which Lu will not accept. He makes them bind themselves to the king of Ireland and Bolgerug, son of the Dagda. All of this relates to Lu as a god of the oath. The battle begins, though initially Lu is prevented from fighting out of concern for his safety. When he sees the gods are not winning, he rushes to the front, performs a mystical dance with one eye closed, one hand behind his back, and on one leg, and chants to empower them. Then he takes to the fight himself. This mystical performance in battle is paralleled by Indra in the Rig Veda, who is called the dancer in battle, and also some accounts of Zeus from the war with the Titans that say he performed a dance in the battle to empower the other gods. The battle surges forward again. Nuada and Maha are struck down by Balor, and Lu leaps forward to avenge them. He confronts Balor, and the following dialogue ensues. I'll read it out because it's not included in general public translations, but it is critical to understanding both Lu and Balor. Full credit to Story Archaeology for the translation, slightly edited by myself. Link in the description. It is then that Lug said, "In the end, though the man is little, it is he who is deciding whether today is a day for your death." Balor said, "You look upon great steady meadow plains under the cloak around which you ride your way to encounter the seed I sowed. I am the germ of the attack myself." Lug said, "It is you that brought, Lug, a strife burden of conflict for your propagation. May death by my sword be fitting for you. You were summoned by my will, by my crafts, tricks of the Tua. Let it be evil to wolf packs of Favoira. Under floods, under deep seas, under flood waves, may you remain with whatever property you can bring with you. May ye not carry off tree fruit or milk. May ye not carry off green corn or grain. May ye not attain body fines or honor. No, no, woe, woe. May ye not bring to an end, irresponsible peasant, the world. In our wave swell, which sustains the great heavy seas, I bring them forth to overwhelm ye. From me, Lug, do not plunder. What ye make is better than what ye reject. Better for you to create beings, since those beings who bind me, you will not battle injure my body, even if you bring hairy lumps under multitudinous waves. The sea fills with battle tribes which it grinds together. The sea decimates harsh flesh. A beaten body is a blemish on the utmost of gods. May the floods of the sea inundate so that ye move. Lug's mind is a sword for the druid. Swiftness of wind, howling of dragons, showers of fire, sternness of lions, shining of sun, radiance of moon. Lu is here shown as the guardian of the harvest who will drive the Favoiri back beneath the waves, back into the underworld, represented as being beneath the sea. He commands the floodwaters that wash them away exactly as Vedic Indra, and also invokes a storm with wave swells, howling winds, the lightning, and the powers of light, of sun and moon, perhaps the light given off from the lightning bolt. Presumably, these are the storms he summons in the month of August to beat back heat and drought and protect the crops, which is why storms were sometimes called battles between Lu and Balor. In Ireland, the majority of cereals are harvested in August, but also fruit such as apples, which seem to be directly under the protection of Lu. Lu's daughter, or in some versions, sister, is called Eblu, and this may relate her to the apple tree. Apples often carry a solar connotation due to their roundness and red color, and are also related to the Celtic paradise where Lu resides. In another myth, Lu defeats a goddess Carmen and her three sons who are ravaging the land, taking sap from the trees and fruit. Bress digs her grave, and it is said that Lu sealed her beneath strong oak trees, and this is said to have occurred at Lunasa. Thus, Lu is a protector of the harvest and is associated with bringing rains. In simplistic terms, he is therefore a sky god or rain god. Lu's close association with plants, trees, and the earth is related to his prime function as a god who creates the conditions for living things to grow and flourish through his mastery of the clouds and winds. He is associated with the oak tree in both Welsh and Irish sources, and this may be related to the fact that the oak was, in most ancient times, a great source of winter food, as people would collect and eat acorns, grinding them into flour, and using them also as a source for tannin to make leather from animal hides, which links back to some other aspects of Lu in terms of manufacturing and shoe production. The oak, like the apple, was a most fruitful and useful tree. This association with plants is also why Lle in Welsh myth marries a woman of flowers, Blodeuwedd, but it is also why she betrays him, lured by the bright draw of Gronw Pebr, the Radiant One, who may have been more closely related to the sun and daylight. Lu is also associated with light and the sun, and was, as many deities in the Indo-European conception were, linked to the sun in some way. Lu was perceived as a sky shepherd, gardener, or cowboy, and thus the movement and even appearance of the sun fell under his purview, as did storms, but his nature was certainly not as purely light, not as the sun incarnate. Lu in Irish myth is likewise betrayed by his wife, and was at least reported to have had an affair with Kermit, a son of the Dagda being closely associated with fire and the sun, as are his children and his brother Ogma. In both Welsh and Irish legends, Lu, or Lle, and Gwydion fight to protect the trees and forests, or animate them to fight alongside them. Taliesin asks in a poem if it is Lle and Gwydion who sway the treetops with their magics. It is the winds that are being referred to here, which stir the trees, making them move and sway, especially in storms, as if they've come to life. Lug's death site is said to be Loch Lugborte, and Lugborte may originate from Lubgort, the name for a herb garden, which is sometimes spelled Lugbort. The rainy nature and love and protection of crops and forests are why Lu and Cian's family are said to be opposed to the family of Ogma, who represent the element of fire. Both Lu and Ogma were great champions of the Second Battle of Moytura, one likely seen as the manifested fire of the lightning storm, the other as the impeller of the storm and its winds and rain. Balor says that Lu looks down upon meadow plains from behind his cloak around which he rides, which seems to be a poetic way of saying the clouds. The cloudy nature of Lu may seem to be paradoxical to any association with the sun, but the sun generally is seen to travel above the clouds, the cloak of Lu. And as a sky guardian or herdsman, it would be Lu who determines when the sun shines and when it is cloudy, rainy, or stormy. He is associated with birds, including eagles, but perhaps most especially ravens. The raven associates him with intelligence and the wind, harvest, death, and autumn when they gather in large numbers. This gathering and assembling aspect is also a fundamental aspect of the god, who is said to be the first to call assemblies from where the trumpets sound, and is undoubtedly why many towns were named after him. His mastery of the air and clouds likely leads to a tricky nature, for the movement of clouds in the air which drives them is amorphous, always shifting, changing, and coming and going unexpectedly. As the bringer of storms and the fierce striker, he also brings darkness and potential destruction. Thus, Lu has names such as Lu Laibach, Crooked Lu, Lug Liemna, maybe Lu of the Standing Stones or Floods, but possibly Faults. It is said in a Welsh poem that Lle was one who invited attack, and also that he was someone who never gave the truth to anyone, a sentiment echoed in Irish sources as well. He uses this wit, cunning, and desire for battle to fool Balor into a confrontation and ultimately defeat him, to trick the children of Turin, and to poison Bress with bog water. This character emerges from the nature of wind and rain and storm. In Roman Britain, there is some evidence that religious sanctuaries would employ professional interpreters of the clouds, and some Irish sources say that one of the ways the Druids would read the signs was by observing the movement and activity of the clouds. There is, of course, a high degree of symbolic similarity with Hermes, aka Mercury, that cannot be a coincidence, such as an association with shoes, artistic and musical skill, contracts, intelligence, guardian of herds, flocks, and fields, boundaries, stone markers and stone heaps, sleep and dreams, dawn and sunset, speed, aerial nature, lordship of many animals such as hounds, cattle, horses, lions, boars, dishonesty, wealth, competition, luck, etc. It is impossible to think that these gods could have emerged from two separate sources. It is with good reason that the Gauls and Britons often equated him with Mercury, though at other times Mars. Hermes and Lou were almost certainly of the same Indo-European origin, and that may have been from the god Pushan, a cloud-born god whose name is cognate with the word for pasture, and is a lord of cattle, pastures, crops, and wealth, a lord of pathways both in the sky and on earth, who wields a golden lance and a golden sword, is associated with contract and marriage, and is said to have skillful hands which milk the cloud cows, guides the sun across the sky in a golden boat, and brings souls of the dead into the underworld. Lu is also strongly associated with ships in both Welsh and Irish tradition. Some scholars think that both Greek Hermes and Pan originate from the Proto-Indo-European version of this god, who likely shared a lot in common also with the Iranian and late Roman Mithra. With this in mind, it is interesting that although most scholars say Lug could not have developed from Proto-Indo-European Luc for light, we see that Luc becomes Lucus in Latin, meaning a sacred grove, and becomes Lug in Slavic, meaning a meadow or pasture. Given the actual function, nature, and likely origin of the god, it is at least tempting to think that this is the case. But there are many other plausible origins for the name, all of which actually fit with the role of the god. The identity of Balor is interesting, as he is presented as a force of generation and procreation who has overstepped his role and is leading to destruction. It is important to note that Balor is not therefore a purely evil being, but a force of primal energy which must be checked and controlled. Like Vedic Vritra, Balor was also thought as being an airborne as well as located in the ground, and may himself have been related to the clouds. Thunderstorms were presented as a battle between Lu and Balor, but it was said that the long arm of Lu was blowing in the wind and that the thunder was the sound of Balor. This is akin to Indra's enemy Vritra, also said to wield thunder and lightning, but that Indra overcame him with his special bolt, much like Cuchulainn's Sky Bolga, which none other possesses and can strike down any foe. Lu reveals to Balor that in fact their showdown has been orchestrated by himself, that Balor was there due to Lu's will and his tricks. The delicate balance of nature, the forces of opposition, are in fact united together, and their battle is a fiction maintained, managed, balanced by Lu in order to achieve the necessary outcome, which involves the symbiosis of forces. Lu is associated with balance, said to have scales, and the Laugrigal Éireann says of his rule, it was balanced. He instructs Lleidh in the Welsh myth to put the fighting dragons together, and the wand of Hermes is said to do exactly this, which the Gauls primarily represented as two serpents facing each other, similar to the double-headed snake or serpent associated with Lugus on Iron Age coins. We should also keep in mind that the timing of Lunasa is significant beyond simply Celtic myth. It is the time where Sirius is aligning with the sun, the dog star, known in Greek sources as being a source of intense heat and blight. It is a time where Zeus, of course, is greatly honored by the Olympic Games, which are held to commemorate Zeus defeating Kronos. It also corresponds with festivals to Indra, who is also associated with the zodiac sun sign of Leo. When Lu defeats Balor, either with his sling or his spear, both used as symbolic representations of lightning in the Rig Veda, Balor's smiting eye is turned upon the enemy, devastating their ranks. The giant falls and burns a hole in the ground, which is quickly sealed beneath the waters, conjured by Lu. There are other mentions scattered throughout the sources that mention Lunasa floods that rose up from the earth and drowned kings. Shortly after Balor's defeat, Lu overcomes Bress, who has been using the Favoiri to try and win back his crown from Nuada. Lu spares him in exchange for a guarantee of a good harvest. Many have interpreted this as Lu obtaining the knowledge of how to engage in agriculture, but given that it is presented that they already know the agricultural cycle, and that all Bress says is plow, plant, and sow on a Tuesday, a day associated with the agricultural slash war god Mars, it is more likely that this is intended as a talisman that if done on these days, the crops will be protected by Mars, perhaps Bress himself, given that he is most often called the grandson of Net, who is identified by the medieval sources as a god of war, and whose name means battle. Bress is a type of shadow of Lu. This dynamic is also reflected in Welsh myth, with Pryderi being Lle and Gwydion's shadow who must be overcome. Both figures are associated with or related to Turin, presumably equated with Taranis, who may have been at odds with Lu. Interestingly, if theories of Taranis are correct, this positions Lu as the opponent of the traditional storm god, but the reason will have to be dealt with elsewhere. What is not correct, but many have claimed, is that Lu is a relatively new god to the Celts and supplants these older gods. In reality, he is probably one of, if not the oldest Celtic deity, having been well established in the Proto-Celtic era. Lu is dualistic, like a scale, and he balances good weather with rains and clouds, as his main goal is maintaining the balance required for plants and animals to thrive. Another story says that Lu, through his tricks, poisons Bress with fake milk from wooden cows, which was really bog water. This was done, it says, by the will of Nuada, and that Lug was ever dutiful, presumably dutiful enforcer of the laws issued by Nuada. Lu's spear is sometimes said to have come from Gorias, which is related to the word for duty. Thus, while it does further highlight the aspect of Lu which was called the trickster, it also links him with the production of liquids like water and milk, and his role of fulfilling or enforcing the laws. When the battle breaks in favor of the Tuatha Dé Danann, Lough Leglas, chief poet of the Favoiri, asks to be spared by Lu, which is granted. Lough tells Lu that he will ensure the Favoiri do not return, and that Lu's judgment is to be binding in all disputes. Then Lough sings a hymn, which again has not been translated yet, but which is called the Decree of Fastening, and it is plausible that this decree, which forms the very ordering of the cosmos, the decree which bound everything to its rightful place. Lu is also in several cases featured with a pillar or two pillars on the top of his head in Gaulish depictions, invoking the image of him as the sky pillar, the force which holds up or holds apart the sky and earth. Lu's association with riding and horses is likely a poetic reference to the clouds, perhaps especially storm clouds, with the sound of a herd of horses often compared to the sound of thunder. Cuchulainn has both a grey and a black horse, the children of Macha, who may represent rain clouds. Cuchulainn is often described as a coming storm, and the wooing of Emer provides one such great example, where the horses actually create lightning as they run. Several names associated with Lu call him the Great Rider and the Horseman. Goddesses associated with the land were often represented as horses, including Demeter in the Greek tradition, having a myth of changing into a horse, and so this may relate to Lu's kingly ability to master the forces of the land and ride atop the horse, which is symbolic of the earth itself. The names that Lough gives to Lu's various horses, chariots, goads, and charioteers are all examples of things related to the god. He is associated with prophecy and dreams, poetry, chant, speech and music, strength, brilliance, indomitability, fierceness, wildness, balance, scales, center, steady, wands or branches, pastures, fields, yew tree, man of weeping, or perhaps related to Lu's sorrow at the death of Taltiu, for whom he assembles a gathering of the people of Ireland, perhaps with rain as his tears, but alternatively it could mean one-eyed man. There are other hints that Lu may have been one-eyed, but these must be dealt with elsewhere. His association with music, speech, and sound would seem to also relate him to the sound of wind, storm, rain, and the flow of rivers. He is also called blazing, molten metal, and contending with death, or possibly triple death. This brings to mind Fae's death and resurrection in Welsh myth. He is further called wise man, great rider, cliff rider, and possibly most significant of all, Anagat, the halter or binding of the goddess Anna, who may be related to Danu. This is a title which comes up twice in the list of names Loch gives to Lu's company, and may represent his ability to harness the powers of the earth. This is likely represented by Cuchulainn as well, who masters and halters the two horse children of Macha, said in some places to be the sister of Anna. Lu's goads associate him with knowledge, law-giving and judging, singing and riding, and his horses with riding, the sea, light, and poetry. But there are also several names that link him to arresting, halting, stationary, binding, fixed, illuminating his role as the power which ties things together and holds them in place. Lu is also associated with heat and light. He is called the Fierce One who never cooled and is associated with the color red quite often, and people have taken this to mean the sun. He is associated with the sun, but correctly understood, it is in the way of the old sailor saying. A red sky in the morning generally means there is an oncoming storm, and a red sky at night is a storm moving away from the observer. Thus, the sun and the surrounding sky would change color, red, white, or golden, all depending on atmospheric conditions governed by Lu, and this is most noticeable at sunrise and sunset. In ancient times, this changing color of the sun was likely thought to relate to the god whom took control of the sun, perhaps guiding the sun with his red hand. Thus, Lu was associated with the sunrise, but conversely the sunset, and as the god who brings in autumn, he also oversees the decline of the sun from its summer height into the darkness of winter, both things which relate to his connection with sleep. While his tricky nature is likely associated with the clouds, as one of the names given to him, Lu of the Mantles, he may have also been seen as a guide or guardian of the sun on its pathways through the sky, and we see this role carried out by a number of gods in the Vedic tradition, including Mitra and Pushan, with whom Lug has many similarities and likely a common origin. Like Mitra, Lug is associated with law, punishment, and the forgiveness of sin. After completing their tasks, Lu forgives or absolves the sons of Turin from their crime, though he still lets them die for it. He enforces the cosmic order, and is thus dangerous and fearsome if one goes against that order. He is also all-seeing and all-knowing. This is represented by his mastery of every single skill, but also by his ability to discover the manner of death of Cian by the very rocks of the earth relating it to him. This is also displayed by Cuchulainn in several instances, such as his ability to count all the tracks of the troops of Maeve in a single glance. Lu is famous for his unstoppable spear, one of the four jewels of the gods. It is significant that he obtains this spear from the children of Turin, thought to be cognate with Taranis or Perkunas, thus equivalent to the typical Indo-European storm god. This positions the spear as a lightning spear, and one not originally controlled by Lu, but belonging to another storm god which may have been seen as more malevolent, or conversely not as powerful. In the Vedic sources, many gods wield lightning, such as Varuna, Mitra, Indra, Brihaspati, Rudra, the Maruts, Agni, and others. So it's hardly a unique weapon available only to one god, as it becomes in Greek myth. However, what made Indra unique in this regard was that his bolt was not simply a physical lightning bolt of the storm, but something even more powerful, something that nothing could stop, not even solid stone of the mountains, for he uses this bolt to free the waters from within the mountains and to slay Vertra, the only thing that could. Lug's spear is likewise unstoppable. So unstoppable was the spear that it could shatter stone or pierce straight through it, and it would return to the wielder's hand with the call of Ahivr, meaning re-you or next you. This returning ability is akin to the hammer of Thor, and is one of several that link Lu to the yew tree. Such an example is found in Welsh myth with the killing of Gronu. This is similar to the trident of Poseidon, which was also known for breaking stone and liberating waters. In the Irish myth, too, Cuchulainn is associated with breaking stone. Ferdi had put stone under his armor to prevent the strike of Cuchulainn, but the guy Bolga pierces his armor and breaks through the stone. The guy Bolga is Cuchulainn's single unique attack that Ferdi does not possess, and that no other warrior has. It must be thrown in water by the foot, and is described as having very many barbs that go into every vein of the person upon striking. Lu is also the god who is crowned in autumn, the beginning of the dark half of the year, and the diminishing of the sun, the harvesting of the crops, and the death that goes with it. Lu in Gaelic can also mean small or diminishing, and that's probably connected with these associations. Great hosts of ravens assemble in autumn, with which he had a close connection, not only for their association with wind, light, and the harvest, but also because of their association with death. He oversees the commemoration of the death of his foster mother, the goddess of the earth, who gives forth abundance, which he presides over harvesting. He also is known to have gathered the people to commemorate the death of his wife, Nas. He may have been a guide to souls like Hermes and Pushan, and his special shoes were the sign of his many travels in the sky and into the underworld. This is represented by Cuchulainn's strange journey in the wooing of Emer, which correctly understood is a solar journey into the underworld. He is therefore not to be conceived of as a happy-go-lucky. He is somber, even sorrowful. Cuchulainn's adopted son, Lugaith Redstripes, was said to have died of sorrow after the death of his wife, and this is almost certainly a reflection of the nature of Lu. The bards also agree that Lu was dangerous. He was noted for having killed several other gods before being overcome by the three children of Kermit, who are associated with the sun, Hazel, and Plowshare. Perhaps they are positioned as the opposites of Lu, who is associated with rain, the oak, and yew, and the harvest, or the flowering meadow. These three things may also have been seen as weapons against Lu, the sun evaporating his water and driving off his clouds, the plowshare tearing apart his meadows and his crops, and the hazel is also said to be the greatest protection from serpents, or might be seen as the rival of the oak. There might be some idea that Lu was associated with the serpent, as Iron Age coins from Gaul and Britain feature him with a double-headed serpent that forms an S-shaped motif. Lu is likewise a god of the cliff, or the mountaintop, where the strong winds blow and the clouds assemble. One of his goads is possibly called Cliff Rider. He was said to be the first to call assemblies from where the trumpets sound, a poetic reference to heaven. Several references to him in both Irish and Welsh speak of a slope. In the Lauwergevalle Éireann, he was said to have been pushed over the slope to his death. In a Welsh poem, his son was said to have gone over the slope of Llei. This is almost certainly a reference to the celestial peak from which Zeus and Indra both rule, perhaps associated with the arc of the sky or the pathway of the sun. It is nearly impossible to sum up the entirety of the god in any presentation. There are too many associations and connections to deal with that have been left out due to time constraint. However, we can say confidently that Lu is a god of the lands and the harvest, the trees and the meadows and pastures and the rains that sustain them. He is a master of the pathways, the best of herdsmen, the guardian of flocks and cattle, the defender of boundaries and the scales of balance and justice, which he will enforce with deadly might of his spear that slays heroes. He guides the sun and marshals the cloud herds to give bright days as well as rainy ones. With his skilled hands he releases the waters, and he destroys obstructions with his sling, his spear, and his sword. He liberates the gods, as he can liberate men from their sins and bonds, but he will strike down those who do evil, who violate order, who cheat him, steal from him, or upset the balance of nature. He contains the knowledge of the sun and crafts golden shoes, but like the shoemaker, he is known for dishonesty. He loves competition, strategy, singing, and games. Sails the sky in a golden boat, where he meets the sun as it sets in the underworld, or travels atop the clouds on winged steeds. He is the most clever and skillful of all the gods, bringer of the dawn, but also the sunset, and the diminishing sun of autumn and winter. He rises men up and also puts them to sleep. As Lord of Pathways, he also presides over the pathways to the underworld, the road the dead must travel. He oversees oaths, but is himself not bound by conventions of honesty. He is violent, wise, and sorrowful, the fastest and most active, confident and boastful, skilled with word and song, brings energy, vigor, mental illumination, and physical strength. Yet he also puts men to sleep with soft playing of his harp and sends dreams and visions. He stirs up the winds that sway the trees and has them bow down before his coming. When angered, he can fly into a fit of rage and destroy everything like the most fierce of hurricanes. But sometimes this ferocity and destruction is necessary in order to overcome the opposing forces. He seeks to fuse things together, just as a storm fuses fire, water, and air. Through his many skills, he can establish balance and order by holding things in the rightful place. He offers peace to the Favoiri, if only they submit to him. But he is always the first to rise to a fight. He ensures the fecundity of nature and oversees abundance, but must also preside over the death of Talthew, which was not a joyous affair. He creates the music of nature, which is why so many of the names associated with him are related to music and poetry. The howling of the wind, the patter of the rain, the stirring of the leaves, the flowing of the streams and rivers, a beautiful meadow on August day. All of this is under the purview of Lu, and so it's no surprise that the impetuous warrior on the cliff was also the most gifted of bards. If you enjoyed this, and I hope you did, please check out my Patreon page and consider supporting my work and our efforts to build a sanctuary. I know not everyone will agree with this interpretation, but it is based on a great deal of research, probably more than anyone else in the world, I would say, has done into this specific deity. As I said, there is a lot I haven't covered here, and a lot of questions which I'm sure people will want answered, which cannot be covered in one single presentation. Tapalev, Ersaneshjak, Agas, Marasavisht, Shes, Ard.